Dear people, let us open our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. As we've been coming through this 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we've seen that Jesus, in his second discourse given in the book of Matthew, as Matthew brings them together, or we can say his second sermon, Jesus is now coming down to the end of that sermon. We notice how Jesus, first of all, he focused this sermon on the 12 that he's called to himself, with disciples who he raised up to apostles to go into the world. He told them what it was going to be like when they go into the world and all that they were going to face. And he also mentioned that there would be hard times, and those hard times may even come in the midst of the families. Loved ones who are close to them would be the very ones who would come up against them. So he indicated to them that they must stand firmly through all this. Though they'll be as lambs among ravenous wolves, they still must stand and stand fast and pressing upon and holding fast to the God of heaven. And he indicates to them that he is the sovereign God. He's the one who will protect them, the one who would be with them, the one who would carry them through everything that they were faced. And now it seems what Jesus is doing at the end of this discourse, he's ending it on a good note. We see he did the same thing even on the Sermon on the Mount, his first message, and indicating that those who would be with him in heaven. But he says now, and we find in the last few verses of this chapter, as we read it, he tells them and shows them what promises that they're going to have even as they go through these hard times. And keep in mind, though he focused at that particular time on the 12, we can see in this very gospel ministry that he indicates here, it comes all the way down to this day and speaking to even us today who take the gospel into the world. Notice and follow along with me as I read verses 40 down to 42. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. And again, I mentioned to you, Jesus ends this sermon to his apostles and all who follow him on a positive note. This last section seems to focus back on the conflict and strife they would actually be receiving, or which will be attached to the preaching of the gospel. He tells them that their labors will be accepted by some, and those who receive their message and some showing kindness to them, they will be rewarded. And Jesus is saying that all you will see here for what's going to take place is that there will be rewards coming to those. Remember, he said, as you go into the house and you take the word into the house, those who receive you put a blessing upon that house. He's saying now there's going to be more. Rewards will fall upon them who would even receive their message. Now, in the first place, I think we have two points that I'll give to you this morning. And first one is the origination of the gospel. Jesus points to it there. He's speaking of, we know all through this, it is the gospel that is going out to those which will be carried out by the apostles, then disciples, all the way down to this particular point. But he gives the origination of the gospel. He tells us where this gospel comes from in verse 40 by saying, who will receive? Notice what he says again. He who receives you, meaning the one who's going out to preach, receives me, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he says, he who receives me receives him who sent me. Now, as you look at this, it's not so hard to understand what Christ is saying. He says, receives you. Now, the word itself means just to welcome you into the presence. Welcome you as one who is bringing the gospel. Welcome you as one who is sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that welcoming, they're not just trying to be nice people and basically saying that, you know, well, this is a man who's coming to bring in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Let's just be kind to them. welcoming and receiving what Christ is saying is more than that. Is actually looking at the very person who is coming. You, he's saying here, is applied to the person and the message the person is bringing. Understanding that this is one who comes to bring the message. One who comes as an apostle. One who comes as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're receiving this person because of who they are and who they are speaking for. Now, you know, in our day, and you probably have even had part of this take place, or you've been privy to this, when you go and you speak to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, all they say kind things to you, but you know that their hearts are closed away from your message, and they don't want to hear anything that you have to say. They seem like they're being those who are kind and welcoming you, but this is not what Christ is talking about. When he says who receives you, he's basically looking at who receives the very person who you are, who you stand for, and the message that she brings and who that person stands for. And he says, those who come and they hear you, they hear the preaching, they believe that he is the promised Messiah. They hear that from what you're saying. The message that you bring, they're saying, he's saying too, he comes with a message of the gospel of peace. He comes with something to tell sinners what has taken place. It is God's grace and mercy that he comes, that Christ came into the world. And he said, this is the very thing that this one stands for. So those who are listening, is listening to the gospel of grace. Those who are receiving, is receiving that gospel which is coming from the one who gives it. The world now has a Savior has come into it. A Savior who is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is what they are taking into the world. And Jesus says himself, and this is what comes to them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He receives this, he's saying. Those who receive this, these who receive you, they're receiving you and who you are and what you stand for. And that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this whole origination of the gospel itself, it points to what Jesus says. He who receives you receives me. Those who receive you, not only do they understand that you are my messenger, Jesus is saying, but the message which you speak is about me. And that causes them to trust in me. Now they take Jesus as their own. They understand my teaching and the proclamation of the gospel. They now know what the gospel of the kingdom is all about. They know that I am the bread of life. And they know that he comes into the world, that whoever hungers, they will never hunger anymore. Whoever believes will never thirst anymore. So they are beginning to see and they understand that. He says, and this is it. And when they hear that, they receive me. And they receive me as the one who is in the very words itself. What are you preaching? What is your message all about? It is about the gospel. It is about themselves and who they are and their lost state. But what are you telling them? You're telling them about Christ. And Christ says when they hear you, or when they receive you as one who is a spokesman of the gospel, they receive me who is in the center of that gospel and the only way anyone can be saved. But then he goes on and he says that. Whoever receives him, receives him who sent me. Jesus says not only does he receive you and he receive me, but he receives him who sent me. Many false teachers have gone out into the world, and no doubt in that day in Judaism there was false teachers. There were those who say they were the Messiah who came. All kinds of things. But Jesus said that there would be a noticeable difference concerning him. Receiving Jesus meant that they would receive the Father who sent him. There's many people who say that we are the one who's come from God, we're the one who's there, but Jesus says there will be this notable truth in their hearts and minds. They know that the man who came and to preach the gospel to him, he represents Christ. And they know that the Savior who come into the world himself, he has come because the Father has sent them. And they now embraces not only Christ, not only Christ's messenger, but also God himself who sent his Son into the world. They understand at that point, and they embrace John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This now begins to be the thing that holds into them. They know this. They receive this. And they know that Jesus is the one who's come. And when he says, for I have come down from a heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So here Jesus is saying here now, as you go and all the things you're going to get into and all the problems that are going to come, but let me tell you what's going to happen from this gospel. There are going to be those, they're going to know and understand that there, your words is that which has been given to you by the Father. And they have true faith in the Son of God and in God the Father who sent his Son for the salvation of many. This is what's going to be with them. They have received true representatives of Jesus, meaning they have received Jesus himself and the Father who sent even Jesus Christ. So here I say in the first point we have the origination of the very gospel. And Jesus puts it out in this word, he who receives you receives me. They now know who you are and what you're all about. And he receives me receives him who sent me. And so he says, he lets them know that this is what's going to be in the hearts of those who will be turned to the gospel. They will understand all this. None of this stuff that I got some kind of religion. And who's Jesus to you? I don't know, but he was a good man. He came into the world, and I believe, no. Hear Jesus Christ saying that those who welcome you with your teaching, they're going to know who they are welcoming. Not only you, but me, and also the Father who sent me. So Jesus gave this promise to them in the beginning, that they would be received. And then he goes on and he says, and we find out that the workers of the gospel and what they're going to come into contact with, and what is going to be, and how God is going to deal with those who come. He says in verse 41, he who receives the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now we look at this and we say, well, what is Christ saying in this particular place? What does he mean here? What is he trying to teach us even in this day? In this verse, Jesus draws the attention to those who preach the gospel. Remember in verse 40, he's pointing a picture on those who would receive the gospel. Now he's pointing a picture to those who preach it. He is saying here that there will be rewards will be received by those who receive the workers of Christ as they go into the world. Remember, this will be truly something that will make them feel much better. They have heard in the main parts of this sermon. First of all, go only to the lost house of Israel. Don't go out to other places. Now, this is what you're going to meet here. And they're going to be those who they're going to come against you. Your mother, your father, your children, they're going to hate you. They're going to even deliver you over to death. But now he says here, what's going to happen? As you go out, there are going to be rewards that's going to come. And he says here, who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet. Again, receive him mean the same thing as we saw in the other verse. It is to welcome. It's welcoming the person and the message. It's welcoming seeing who the person is and what he stands for. He see his life and his very character. Prophet here that we look in the Old Testament is one who was called to the office in order to speak God's word to the people. They do not speak their own words, but the words which God gives them. You know the very thing, thus saith the Lord. And this is what we see when you see a prophet. But in the New Testament, the word have an added meaning in there are those who by divine influence is considered a prophet because, or an ambassador, because he speaks the words which God himself guides him in speaking. All the writers of the New Testament were under the divine influence of the Holy Spirit. Here it talks of the meaning of anyone who has a right to proclaim God's truth. So when Jesus is saying the words who will receive a prophet, he's not talking about one as we know in the Old Testament, but one who has the right and he is divinely put in that position to speak for God. And brethren, any time anyone speaks as the truth of God's word in this more New Testament form, he is now bringing forth the truth of God's word, so therefore, in that sense, a New Testament prophet. But he says here, who receives a prophet, and he's saying now, same as we said before, who looks at this man as this man brings the word to him, understanding what this man is saying, as he opens up the word of God to them, and basically what they're saying, the one who receives this man, the one who hears everything he's saying, in the name of a prophet, meaning that he considers the message to be one who speaks for God. Well, we know in our day, there's a lot of people who say they speak for God, but they don't speak for God. We heard even in Sunday school, when you talk about the offices of Christ Jesus, prophet, priest, and king, and even how God said to those in the book of Jeremiah, let the false prophet tell you and tell about his dreams, but you speak what I tell you to speak. And here we can see now Jesus is saying here, as they would go out, Jesus already told them what to speak, what to say, and the very things that he would bring to the lost house of Israel. But he says now, so when they go and speak, he's going to speak that. And so he says, speaking in the name of a prophet, the one who is truly giving and doing what a prophet does. What does a prophet do? We saw that this morning. He stands between God and man, and he speaks the truth to man. And so hear what Jesus is saying now. He stand, or you stand, in the midst of me. I am the chief prophet now. You speak my words to the people. So one who comes in the name of a prophet, one who comes speaking as a prophet, one who comes who has been given the word of Christ to bring to the people, he's saying, that's the one who you're receiving. Not a prophet in the Old Testament sense, but anyone who has been given the right and privilege to proclaim God's truth. Christ tells us through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, what Christ has done, he went up into heaven. He gave gifts to men. And he said he set them on. Some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers. And he tells that the purpose of that is for the effecting and the perfecting of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they have been given this privilege of proclaiming the truth, of God's truth to the world. He is welcome. That is the one who does that. He is welcome because he is believed to be the messenger of Christ and God. He is welcomed as one who speaks God's truth and deserves kindness and aid in his labors. And this is what he's saying. The one who speaks, notice what he says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And now he says here, what is he speaking about when he says this? But let's leave the reward aspect to the end, because it really basically is the same thing throughout. Notice what he says second one. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Well, now he's looking at a righteous man. What is a righteous man? He says again, he welcomes him, he receives him. A person and character is what he's focused upon now. A righteous man, man who has that person and character and that conduct of one who is just, one who is right in his dealings, one who keeps himself in a certain way, one who walks with God. He is righteous, or he is justified by faith. One whose life has been conformed to the standards of the word of through the work of his gospel. All that Christ is and what Christ has done has now, this man has been changed, and he speaks those and he lives the way those who are righteous live. He is a new creature in Christ Jesus. He hungers and thirsts after righteousness. He trusts in Christ and desires to live to the glory of God. He endeavors to grow in grace and to please God in every area of his life. This is that righteous man he speaks of. And he says, one who is like this, and as you receive him, he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And notice in the last thing he said, but let's go back to the two here. There's two things he says. He speaks of reward. And actually looking at this and looking through all the commentators, what kind of reward is this that he's speaking of? Some of them were all over the place and they really didn't know what to say about it. Some said the same reward that a prophet received, the same reward that a righteous man would receive, they would receive also. And that seems to be the very thing that is covering or carries the idea or the mind of most of them. And in a sense, I think we can kind of understand that. Because what reward would a prophet receive? He's serving God. He's been honest to God. He's living in a way of, he shows his life to God. And what he's doing is he's taking up now, is taking the very message of God and taking it to the people. So that reward he's going to give is all that God's going to give to him and how he's going to treat him. And what he's going to have is that eternal reward in heaven. But the person who gives now receives this prophet, and he will receive a reward of a prophet. What he's going to receive? The same thing the prophet received. And it seems that the commentators that say that this is really basically when one even cares for receiving the prophet and doing all to the prophet, which is in this sense, brings him into the home, gives him aid, shows him kindness. And what is the thing that God's going to do? He's going to give him the same reward that a prophet would receive. You can see the sense he's saying, you show so much to the prophet, you've been so kind to the prophet, I'm going to give to you the same reward a prophet would receive. Now, we shouldn't take that and kind of move that into the labors of the prophet and the labors of those who are showing the kindness, but this is what it looks like. And he says the same thing with a righteous man, a righteous man's reward. What is a righteous man? What is he doing? This person opens his door to aid in any way he can. A righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. The same reward that a righteous man receives. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that those who receive, those who come and receive the gospel and find themselves connected with the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to receive the reward that Christ himself, God the Father, would give them because of their love and their hearts opened up, which knows that it has been opened up to God himself, because it is God who sent these to him. And so he says that, and that's the wonderful part about it. He indicates now that rewards are given to those. Rewards are given to those who actually receive. You know, brother, that kind of put each and every one of us on that level as a receiver. Sometimes we are both. Take me as a pastor, Pastor Randy and other pastors. We are those who speak the word to you, and we receive rewards from you. And then basically then we are those who also receive rewards from others. And we receive good from others, I should say. And we give to them and receive rewards for that particular purpose. So here, Jesus is really saying, here at the end, Dear people, when you go out, just know one thing, that you're not going to be lost to all the misery and wickedness of the world. He's saying, I am the sovereign God. And there'll be those who would hear what you have to say. And you know how they're going to treat you? Not trying to destroy you, not trying to kill you, not trying to do all kind of false things to you, but they're going to receive you. They'll receive you with kindness and meekness. And we know because they have received the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, even down to this day right now, all of us can say that everyone in the world has not received us as we brought the gospel to them. And we see in the earlier parts of this chapter, we find that there are those who turn against us because of the gospel. But Jesus is saying, don't get stuck on that only. Remember, I am the Lord God. Remember what he said about even being fearful of those who can destroy the body. Why worry about them? Worry about him who could destroy body and soul in hell. So now he's saying, here's what I want you to see at the end now. All of what I've been teaching you, there are going to be some people, some homes. They're going to hear what you have to say about me. And they're going to receive you. They're going to be showing you kindness. They're going to be showing you that they want to hear what you have to say. And then you're going to know that when they're listening to you, that they're not only receiving you, but they see in me who sent you. And they see in the Father who sent me. So Jesus has given this wonderful word here. He's saying to us that people are going to get the gospel. They're going to hear. They're going to respond to the gospel. And in a sense, he's saying the first response is going to be seen is how they treat the man of God. How they treat the Christians. How they treat the one who comes to them. You will know. You will know. And he's saying this is what he wants to say. Now, he's not looking at this from a negative standpoint, but from a positive standpoint. You're going to go out. They're going to receive you. Because they have received me. And because they have received him who sent me. Jesus is saying it quite clearly here. The gospel that I come to bring is not to set up some kind of a religion on the world. You know, people put Christianity in that category of a religion. They say, well, you know, you could choose Buddhism if you want. You could choose Mohammedan if you want. You could choose Hare Krishna. You could choose Christianity. They're all on the same level. Jesus said, no, that's not it. I've come from the Father. The Father is in heaven. The Father is the one who controls all things. The Father God is the one who created the world. And everyone now in the world right now is under the control of the Father. If you have life today, it's because the Father is so pleased to give you life. If you have a job, it's because of the Father himself is opened up to yet have a job. Jesus says in another place, he says, it is the Father, he's the one who causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He causes the sun to shine. You don't see people in the world working. It would be kind of strange, wouldn't it? Here's a righteous man walking down the street, and here's a sinner man walking down the street. He got darkness, and the sun is just over there. He said the sun shines on both of them. And to take that back into that particular time period is that you need the sun, you need the rain, because there's where most people made their living. It's in an agrarian kind of society. They had fields and crops they need to grow. And they even made the imagery a little further. The crops of this man over here and the crops of the sinner over there, they're both growing. One is not all burnt out and dead, and this one is growing. No, this is what God, my kindness is up to this point. Everything that you receive, you're receiving it because it is coming from me, the living God. And Jesus is saying here, I don't come and bring into the world another religion added to the religions that man has come. I have come from heaven to tell men and women, boys and girls, who they are and that they must serve the living God. And he is the God that sent me to die for sins. And those who believe and trust in me shall have eternal life. And he says, and this is the message, you take it into the world, and he who receives you receives me, and he who receives the prophets shall receive of a prophet's reward. So he said, there are those who, as we heard this morning, not going to want to spit in your face, but receive you. And when they receive you, they're going to be receiving me and receiving the Father. But he goes on, and he says in verse 42, and whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Isn't that marvelous? Now notice, first of all, what the Lord Jesus Christ did here. He's bringing it down to levels. He starts off with a prophet. The prophet is the highest one. If you look at on the world of those who are taken, and even in a particular society that we have now, if you fit that, those who have been established, set aside for the preaching of God's word, you put it on that level, he's the highest one. And then he goes down to a righteous man. And if you look at it, here is, I am here preaching the word to you. You are righteous men and women sitting down receiving the words. And then he goes on, he says, even lower than that. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say, he shall not lose his rewards. One of these little ones. Jesus now seems to focus upon a disciple. One who is insignificant to most people. Not someone who is taking the gospel into the world, but someone has placed trust in Jesus Christ and displays the total dependence upon him. Little one may seem insignificant. Someone that don't even have worth nothing to anybody else. Maybe the most insignificant person in the church. Maybe some that they don't have a role, and they don't even know what kind of gift God has given them. You know, we say, look and see what gifts we have. And someone say, well, I don't have a gift. I don't know what it is. And say, they just look at themselves. All I know is I believe in Jesus. And that's the way they live their life. And so Jesus said, even if it comes down to one of these little ones, whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, he's saying the smallest insignificant gift, just give that to him. Her. You're looking, when you give that gift, you're receiving that one, you are considering that one as a disciple. One who's in the kingdom of God belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you're saying here, okay, brother, sister, there will be nothing that will you need that I would not come and help. And Jesus says, even if you just give him a cup of cold water, he says, I tell you, he shall not lose his reward. That is the one to even come to his little one. Jesus is indicating to us here that he has such love for those who belong to him. And he brings it down, and we know this is the very thing that you see in the economy of God. In the church itself, you have those who are leaders. You have those who are righteous ones as they live. And you have those who may be on the bottom of the pole. I believe what we have here is that the Apostle Paul takes the idea of this so wonderfully and shows us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he says to us, we are all a part of one body. No such thing as anyone being insignificant. The head can't say, I want to be the one who leads, or the eyes, or the whatever, or the arms can't say, I'm going to lead it. No, the whole body leads every part. And Christ is showing us here, there's no such thing as an insignificant member of the church. One of these little ones. It seems that's what he goes down to. He's saying, this person, one who cares for me, and he's saying here that even as those who give just a cup of water to them, they're going to be showing who they believe and how they're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here, he shall not lose his reward. And he says, this is what he says through this, the rewards, the rewards. Turn over to chapter 5, even in the same book, and we find that Jesus again brought this whole idea. And when he said, those who are now in grace because of the work of the gospel and because of the persecution going to come to them, that's a different matter, but he still have this place. He says in verse 12, even when you go through all that, and you're going to be suffering, and you're going to be persecuted, verse 12, rejoice and be glad. Well, that sounds kind of strange. For your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So Jesus is saying, yeah, there's time. We're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. You're going to take and walk the same way I walked. And he said that earlier on in this chapter. He said, but know this for a matter. Your reward is coming. You're going to receive your reward. You shall receive that reward. Now, brother, I think we can look at this passage and there's some things that we can look from it because it is for us today. And I want to briefly bring a few applications to you, but then a main one. First of all, speaking of those who Jesus says here, their work will be successful. Isn't that a marvelous thing? All the things that come against the Christ and his ones that go out and preach the gospel, he's telling them, your work is going to be successful. No matter what they rant and rave and all who comes down to you, and we can say this, Jesus says, I come into the world to save the elect. And you going out in my name, it's going to be successful. You're going to do just what I have set you apart to do, and you're going to be successful. Secondly, he says, them in the midst of conflict, some will receive the word of God. And that's something I think we ought not forget, brethren. In the midst of conflict, some people we're talking to, we're trying our best to show them the way of truth, the way of knowledge into the Lord Jesus Christ. And conflict may come because of our message, but Jesus says, some will receive. Now, we don't know who they might be, but some will receive the word of God. And that is a wonderful reward for us on that part, and some of us. I know we have some people we know in our lives, or friends, or neighbors, or family members, that we pray for and help God that they, you would be merciful to them and bring them into the kingdom. Here's another thing which pointed to that day and probably some areas of the world this day, that those who go out and take the gospel, they will receive kindness from many. Everybody is not going to do harm to them and try to destroy or make things bad for them. They will receive kindness. Fourthly, those who receive the gospel will be rewarded now and in heaven. And that's something. Rewarded. And brethren, the rewards, we can say they are multiplied. We can go into scriptures and find out all the things that we've given to you. Again, Jesus is teaching us that Christians must aid the workers in the gospel. Because in this section of the passage, you're seeing that the ones who is now receiving and continue are the ones who are already saved and in the gospel. And so therefore, as those who go on, Christians will be receiving Christian workers and giving aid to them. Those who hold gospel workers will be rewarded. Gospel workers will be rewarded. Nothing that we do and for the cause of Christ in this world will fall flat. We will receive the rewards for them. And this is what Christ says. But mainly, dear people, we will come to the Lord's table shortly. And Jesus tells us in his word, do this in remembrance of me. That means we all should think about our lives when we first received the gospel. That is, when the Lord Jesus opened our hearts to receive his word and he changed our lives. We should think about all the servants of Christ and the brethren in the church and in the faith that the Lord brought into our lives to guide us in this word and in His help and in a walk of faith. We should think about that. When Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, that's not some little few words you put there and you think about them and it's gone. Jesus is showing us here all the troubles that all have gone through in order to bring the gospel to some. You and I should think about the troubles that some have gone through even to bring that gospel to us. And not only those who we look at in this day and what he or she person may have said something to us, but even as we look in the scriptures, the disciples and what they went through and how they were killed quickly before we got out of the book of Acts. And then to Paul and what he suffered and what he went through. Why did he do that? To give us this. We should think about where we are right now in our Christian walk. Because so much and so many has suffered to get it to us. You and I should think, dear people, how the gospel got to America and what they suffered in order to bring the word of God here and what suffering they did in other countries to bring the gospel. And we should think about that and say, here we are right now. How am I right now in my Christian walk? Do I look at the past and everything that has taken place and all that has built up to bring me right now so many years beyond when Jesus spoke this message? And I hold on to the gospel. What a cost it was for many. And how do I right now receive that cost? How do I receive all them that has done everything to bring me where I am right now? And how am I receiving even those who now continue for Christ? We should think about this church right here, and where we are in our commitment to God and Christ Jesus. We should ponder deeply how we are going to give ourselves and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, dear people, I think back to when I was outside of Christ. Didn't want to have anything to do with Christ. Not that I didn't know Christ. I heard about him. I knew about him. And I didn't. Was one of those who say, I don't want to hear about him because he really doesn't exist. I had no doubt that he existed. Then, without going through all the details, one day I was kind of like brought to church. I don't even know why I went. I know on the surface there was. Let's go to church. All right, we go. I didn't want to go. Many times before, let's go to church went right over my head. You go ahead if you want to. I don't want to go. But this particular Sunday, I don't know why I went. When I was there, I said to my wife, let's go join. She said, mm-mm. I got up and walked down to the front to join a church. I got there and turned around. She was right behind me. And her father also. Why did I do that? And even at that time, and a couple of years after, I still did not know anything. I had to search the Bible because something was empty inside. And I wasn't a man that was missing this and missing that. I had just about everything. I was on a ladder. Good job, corporate America. I had everything. I had nothing. I had a good wife, good family. Nothing was wrong. Wasn't sick, didn't have any sickness coming anywhere, nothing. I didn't go down low and then reach for God. I was up, humanly speaking, high and keep going up higher. But something's missing. And God, through all the ways He brought it to me, that I would receive those who He would use to bring the truth to me. Some of you know, unconverted, I believed. I'm not sure what I was then. Purchased this house, moved in this house. the day after moving in on a rainy day on a back porch, say, God, this is yours. Why? I don't know. And I think about it. What God has going on right now here? Why is it here? I don't know. But I put it all back on the whole idea. Someone said something. Someone did something for this man to come to Christ Jesus. And dear people, the only thing I could do is to give to you what was given to me. Christ has done it. Don't let us come to the table and say, oh, well, here we are right now. Think about what I just said. Think about, we should think about where we are right now in our Christian walk. That's what it's all about. We should think about this church and where we are in our commitment to God and to Christ Jesus. This is not a social club. This is not some kind of man-centered meeting. We come before the living God. We come before Jesus Christ, who's in heaven now, and say, they received me, and Father, they receive you who sent me. Are we worthy for Christ to say that about us? We should ponder deeply how we're going to live our life for Jesus Christ from this moment on. Brethren, it should be you and I, as we see, we know that we grow in grace, and as it goes on, what are we going to do now? How are we going to live right now? Are we going to live for Christ? Or are we going to just kind of mosey along with the title of Christian? When we truly think about it, then we must come to the table and take the elements and remembrance of Christ Jesus and what he has accomplished for us by his death. That's what we should do. This is what we think about. Yes, many long years ago, when Jesus could speak to his disciples, he who receives you receives me. We have received many, many centuries down the road, but we have received Christ Jesus through some who brought the message to us. And dear people, let's go to the table saying we're going to continue to receive the truth. We're going to be those humble listeners of the Word of God. And we're going to be doing all that we can to have the Word of Christ accomplish what he has planned to do in the world. And for us here, whatever God has planned that the Word of God should do be from us and to move out, we should say, we're committed to it. And then, as we come to the table, let us do this in remembrance of him and all that he has done for us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how can we ever thank you for all that you've done? We know that those here who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, they can't understand what they've just heard. Lord, even ourselves, we even confess to you that we didn't understand it before you gave us ears to hear and eyes to see. And Lord, now we know who we are. And Father, sometimes we fall short. Sometimes our focus becomes on the world of what is most comfortable for us, what is easier for us. But oh God, let it be that as we see those who went before us, they gave up so much to bring the gospel to those around them and even to come to this very land. Lord, let us be those who say, we give all up all for Christ Jesus. So help us, our God, and let that be our very idea and our purpose as we come and take the elements, saying that we take it in remembrance of Christ. May you help us, O God, by your Spirit, to remember all that he has done for us and is still doing for us, and even the rewards he won for us in heaven. So bless us, O God, and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.